to which they will have input. And as we wish to give these negotiations an opportunity to proceed unfettered by a parallel process, I hereby withdraw my motion.
Thank you very much, Christina. In that case, any comments before we move on to Jeff?
I actually appreciate the withdrawal of the motion. I'm a little concerned in the IPC statement as if there's some obligation for the registrars to report to the GAC. To me, that just seems a little bit bizarre. So perhaps maybe I can get clarification from the IPC as to what they intended.
Sure.
And of course, and just to finish on, you know, we also have to realize that what Kurt may have told the GAC is not necessarily what the registrars would have told the GAC had the GAC invited the registrars to talk about the statement. So perhaps it may be, despite the fact that Kurt had said the high priority items, it's possible that he had something else in mind when he said high priority, as opposed to the high priority items in the RAP report. In fact, I would guess that Kurt probably couldn't name, as most people couldn't name, all of the high priority items in the RAP report. So I want to make sure that it's not necessarily understood that that may not have been what was meant.
Okay. Let me be perfectly clear. My withdrawal of the motion is based on the premise that those negotiations will, in fact, cover those topics. And should that prove not to be the case, I can assure you that my successor or one of my colleagues will reintroduce this motion. As to your point about the GAC, I think the Registrar Stakeholder Group saw and experienced, unfortunately, quite clearly what happens when the GAC does not have complete and accurate information. I think it would be highly undesirable for all of us who want this model to continue for the GAC to later be told Kurtz Pritz was mistaken and he was wrong and he wasn't speaking for us, and to learn that for the first time when the agreement is published. I don't care who tells them, but I think they must be told, and I think the consequences of not telling them, if those negotiations will not in fact cover those topics, are probably going to be a repetition of what we saw on Saturday, or Sunday. And frankly, I don't have the appetite for that, and I don't think anyone else in the community does.
Thank you. Zahid.
I just wanted to second that. I think that we are all hoping that the high priority items will be actually covered in the negotiations. And if there is any confusion about that, it should be made absolutely clear by the registrars at this stage, one. Second, it's unfortunate that this motion hasn't been gone through the GNSO process, and we've seen the stonewalling that has led to the situation. And unfortunately, this whole thing had to go outside the GNSO, someplace else, in a different forum for the process to continue. I think this speaks to transparency issues, and it also speaks to the structural problems we're having within a GNSO. And I hope we will be able to fix those. But again, most importantly, I think that whatever negotiation the RRA agreement goes through, I think it must include the high-priority items.
Thank you. I have Tim remotely. Tim, can you hear me? Let's.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Tim. Jeff.
Yeah, I guess in lieu as a response from the threat from the IPC, perhaps one of the first action items then would be to clarify, because obviously the registrars couldn't control what Kurtz did or did not say to the GAC, but perhaps there could be a clarification of which items are going to be addressed as part of the contract negotiations, the bilateral contract negotiations between the registrars ICANN staff so that we don't wait until the next meeting to be told that there was a different understanding of the high priority items. And frankly, I'm not sure how the GAC knows what is the high priority items in the RAP report as opposed to general things that may be considered high priority. So let's all get that clarified. Let's make sure we're clarified in the not too distant future so that we can all be on the same page and have the same expectations.
Thanks, Jeff. Wendy.
Thank you. In light of the motions being dropped, the amendment that I had proposed will obviously not be considered, but I wanted to ensure that no one listening in the room or to the transcripts gets the impression that there is unanimous support for the items identified as high priority in the RAA report. The NCUC explicitly does not support various items that would reduce the privacy of registrants or their options for preserving privacy through the use of privacy and proxy services. Or items that would reduce the security of their ability to communicate through a domain name by putting that in jeopardy through domain takedowns. We hope that the process that will be adopted for RAA amendments will take into account public comment on the and will give us further opportunities to help in developing processes that are both effective against criminal abuse of the DNS and also respectful of the free speech interests of registrants, the privacy interests of registrants, and the free expression interests of all of those who use the internet for communications, which are not all in freedom-respecting countries. Thank you.
Thank you. Just we have a comment from in the chat room explaining that we're not actually talking about the RAP, which is registration abuse policy, but the RAA, these high priority topics discussions. That's a comment you made, Michele, right? I just wanted to point that out.
Just by way of clarification, if you let me, Stefan, there were two working groups that dealt with proposed amendments, changes, call them what you will, to the RAA, which worked through a list of suggestions that came from ICANN staff, law enforcement, and other members of the community. And it's on that's what we're dealing with. The RAP is a completely different topic. So I'm not too sure where Jeff got that impression with respect
Thanks,
to the
Michele.
RAA.
Thanks, Michele. Please stay up there. We will continue the discussion at council level, then open it up for discussion with the room. I have Margie, Christina, Mary, and Wolf. Margie.
Yes, just to clarify, that report had high priority and medium priority items, and as staff, we'll take a look. I'll go back to Kurt. I can't make any obvious commitments on, but we'll go back to Kurt and make sure we clarify it. The RAA final report had high priority and medium priority topics, and I'll make it an action item to consult Kurt and find out what he has in mind.
Thank you very much. Christina.
Just following up a little bit on what Michele was saying, for those who are not as who haven't followed this whole process for the past several years, and just to make clear that, as Michele noted, that the topics that were ultimately identified as high and medium priority topics in that report were collected based on, as he noted, comments from ICANN staff, from participants within the community, and a public comment period, not only during the RAA negotiations, but then a separate public comment period conducted solely for the drafting group. The drafting team then made their efforts to categorize and prioritize those topics, hence high and medium priority topics. And then those topic categories and groupings, as well as the report itself, were put out for two rounds of public comment. So I would hate for anyone out there listening or following who may not, again, be as familiar with this process to think that these topics were really just kind of sprang fully formed out of someone's forehead, as opposed to being the subject and the originating from multiple rounds of public comment.
Thank you, Christina. Mary, next.
Thanks, Stefan. I have a comment and a question, and the question actually is for the registrar stakeholder group, but I'll start with the comment. And the comment is to echo what Zahid said, or one of the things that Zahid said, that it is very unfortunate and I think potentially alarming in the current context of ICANN that there could be runarounds the GNSO and the GNSO Council in order to get things done and direct approaches to groups. It may be justified in some situations. In others, perhaps there might be policy topics that needs to come back to the GNSO, in which case it ought to be done directly. And in a third instance, it may not be apparent on the face of a particular request that something might impact certain other groups and constituencies, which therefore might not have an opportunity to even know about it or study the requests and proposals till much later on in the process. Given the multi-stakeholder model of ICANN, like I said, I think this is quite alarming if this trend continues. As a question, though, and this is a question for the registrar stakeholder group, and I understand that it may be early days yet, but to the extent that there's some information you can provide to us in this forum, I think we'd all appreciate it. And this is in respect of the process going forward. Given the announcement of the imminent negotiations, there was a staff discussion paper that was put out on the 13th of October, I believe it was, that outlined some possible approaches that could be taken going forward and listing certain topics and themes for discussion. If you're able to provide us with some sense of whether going forward that is going to be the basis, whether that is going to be something that the community can provide input on and so forth, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. I have Wolf, Zahid, Christina, and Jeff. Wolf.
Thank you. Let me just comment on behalf of the ISPCP constituency. We were, from the beginning, we were in support of approving the amended version of the process specified as process B in the final report to develop a new form of RAA with respect to the high priority and medium priority topics, including the law enforcement related RAA proposals. And we will follow up the discussion very diligently, what's going on and whether what we understood was the direction which was taken by the registrar right now is the one in this direction. We have really big concerns following the GAC GNSO discussion and the GAC board discussion yesterday that the entire multi-stakeholder model may be endangered if we don't come to compromise solutions in the future, and that the GNSO might more and more be bypassed and race would be searched for to bypass the GNSO in this respect. So this is our big concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Zahid.
First of all, I just wanted to clarify, it wasn't us who went to the GAC, just in case there's any misinterpretation of this. It's sad to see that this is happening outside the GNSO. That's what I was trying to say earlier. Secondly, I wanted to also sort of ask, Marika just mentioned about the RAA report, and I just wanted to get an idea from her as to the status of that report. Does it include the high priority items? And if it does, are they considered GNSO approved? I'd just like to get a sense of that, because does it mean that the staff is negotiating these as if all the high and medium priority items have been approved by the GNSO? And so if I can get a clarification, that'll be helpful.
Thanks. I think Margie said that, but do you want to address that now? Yeah, okay.
Just to clarify, the report didn't say that those amendment topics should be adopted. So no one went through the analysis of saying whether it was a good topic or all it was a list of things to consider. And at this point, the report has not been approved by the GNSO Council. The only thing that was approved was the registrant's charter, rights and responsibilities charter, which was approved, I think, in February. And the motion that Christina had brought and the other motions that preceded were an attempt to take that that work forward. But nowhere in the report was there a statement from the working group that those topics should be in the RAA. It was more they should be explored.
Thanks. Can I add you, Christina's next.
Zod said most of what I was going to say. I would just strongly encourage those of you who don't think that the GAC is following all of these issues very closely, to be quite candidly, I think you all need a better set of political radar. The GAC has made it very clear that they tend to take a more active role, and I think we need to be very mindful of that, and that to the extent that there are issues of importance to them, that we are not able to progress through our practices, I think they sent us a very clear signal that they will take it out of our hands, and that is not a desirable outcome.
Thank you. Jeff.
So I guess now's a good time for, you know, if that motion were on the table, the registries would have voted no, because we don't believe, unlike what has been said by certain members of the GNSO Council, that a registrar accreditation agreement or any agreement between any of the contracted parties is something that needs to be approved by the GNSO Council. There seems to be this view amongst the council that we are the be-all, end-all, and everything must go through us as a council to approve or not approve. And we do not read the registrar accreditation agreements that way. What is the role of the GNSO community is the ability to comment on those on the results of those negotiations. So I just want to be clear that although there are statements to the contrary of the council, we do not believe that there's any role of the GNSO Council in approving or not approving any amendments. And as far as the threats with regarding the GAC, we all need to do a better job in educating them. That's certainly made clear. And so to the extent that we can do that and hold consultation sessions in public as opposed to private sessions with individual GAC members, that would be helpful to create a common, true understanding of what the facts are.
Thank you. Jeff Zahid.
Well, I actually just want to respond to what just Jeff said. That means our fears are actually sort of confirmed, that we have to go outside the GNSO, that all of this will be happening in a non-transparent manner. And what that means to me effectively is that we had a registry agreement that went through the new GTLD process. We have a registry agreement that went through public comments and transparency. But we don't have an RA in that respect. And I think we really have to look at this. If the GNSO can't do anything about this, then what other process are we going to have to adopt to get the community to have transparency and confidence in what's happening with the new registrar agreement?
Thanks, Zahid. I have Jonathan next.
Thanks, Stefan. I think my mind's just in so many ways a follow-on from what Jeff was saying. I think to suggest, Christina, that any one of us could not have heard or understood or absorbed the new role and perspective of the GAC and their awakening to what the role they might play in the ICANN community would is almost disingenuous. I mean, we hear them, we can hear and feel very loud and clear the role they expect to play in having a voice. That said, there are certain fundamentals about the way in which the contracts work and what is and isn't the subject of consensus policy, and we need to be very careful about retaining that, because that is fundamental to the model in which we all work, and to suggest that we break with that, it would be substantially problematic.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jamie.
Well, first, I would like to say that I came to ICANN and to GNSO community at the very time when the new structure of the GNSO was being put in place. So I don't have a vivid and experience of the previous structure. I think the GNSO and the GNSO Council in particular is the epitome of multi-stakeholderism. It's here where multi-stakeholderism will prove to function or not. And it seems to me that there is a strong, since the work was very hard in building this new structure, there is a fear among all to face the problems that it may still remain. Yesterday at the commercial stakeholders group, I made a it's a point that it seems to me that the previous structure didn't it was not agreeable to anybody, and it dissatisfied everybody. So we moved to a structure that seems to be satisfies one part. The contracted parties seems to be very, or if not satisfied, they seem to be good with this structure. And I would just like to say that, in a sense, if one part is satisfied and the others are not, this is a more unjust situation than the situation where everybody is dissatisfied. It's just a remark of an outgoing counselor. And I made this not in, it is in my private capacity. I didn't discuss this with my constituency.
Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, I think I have to just clarify my remarks here, because it seems like it's been misconstrued, and sometimes things leave this meeting and get to other people, and it just kind of spirals out of control. When I said there's no role for the GNSO Council, I didn't say there was no role for the GNSO community, which, as Zahid, your chair, continually points out, there are certain things that are appropriate for the policy process that are with the GNSO Council, and there are certain things that are appropriate with the stakeholder groups, and one of those is the ability to comment on the agreements once they come out, and that should be maintained. The GNSO Council also has a role in the policy development process for amending whatever agreements they apply to with consensus policies. And if we leave that model, that leaves, that diverts, or should say is a departure from the 1999 agreements that were between the U.S. Department of Commerce and, I'm not sure if they were VeriSign yet or Network Solutions, that developed this whole consensus policy process. That is what we as contracted parties signed on to when we agreed to amend our agreements through the consensus policy process. And it seems like this whole concept of being able to amend the agreements has just kind of gone out of control. We still have the consensus policy process. We could still go through that for any items of policy that we want to address. So again, I did not say that there's, you know, the GNSO has no role. It has a role. So I just want to be clear on that.
Thank you, Jeff. Any further comments from the council? In which case, I will invite comments from the floor. Steve.
Thank you, Steve DelBianco with NetChoice. And if a process A or B had been undertaken, I would make this